All right, let's turn to 1 Timothy, and I'm not going to start a new series. I've got one more message from 3 John that I want to complete. I may do that tonight and get that over with tonight. And next week, what I'd like to do, Lord willing, is start in the book of James. And so I want to do a series through the book of James, a very practical New Testament book, the first epistle or the first book written chronologically is the book of James. And so a lot of practical things for us there. But what I want to do today is I want to just give you a topical message in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse number 15. I'm going to talk about the privilege of the house of God. The privilege of the house of God. And because I was thinking about this in our one-year anniversary, and I was thinking about the mindset of the world, but also the mindset of believers. And I think that many believers have lost the idea of what church really is. And I think that's why the church has become so weak. It's because we're forgetting what a privilege it is to be involved in what we know as a local New Testament church. And so I want to just touch a couple of points today in regards to that with the time that we have left. And hopefully this will be a blessing to you. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." And so just in case you didn't know what this is all about, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about God in the flesh. It's about Him manifesting Himself to mankind, that mankind can be saved. So the church, when he's in the verse before, he's talking about the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us. We have a privilege of being a part of something that God has established, not a man-made religion. This is a God-established institution of a local church that God wants all of us as believers to be a part of in this dispensation of time. And so I want to give you a couple of points in regards to the privilege of being in the house of God. Notice it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." The first thing we need to know about this is, and I want to point out, is number one, the church is the Lord's possession. The church is the Lord's possession. No man can claim ownership to the church. The church that we have, Airdrie Baptist Church, does not belong to me. It does not belong to any man or congregation. It belongs to God Himself. Now, why is that? Well, that's because it has been purchased. It has been bought and paid for. And we see that in Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Purchased with his own blood. Now, who purchased it? Well, the scripture says right here, "The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased." So we're talking about, they say that we have a conflicting audio. Is that right, Ben? Can you check that real quick? It says it's overlapping. Something's overlapping. Excuse me one second. All right. Thank you for that note. I appreciate that. We'll get moving on here. And so God purchased the church with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. And so to be purchased, it means to acquire for oneself. Acquire for oneself. So he purchased us with the redemption price of the blood of his son to acquire us for himself. And so he instituted the local church, not for us, but for himself. And I think this is the first thing we need to understand as far as the privilege of the house of God, is that we have been purchased, and it's for him. It's not for us. I mean, sure, it's for us, but ultimately, it is for God. And our decisions and how we treat it and how we behave in it has completely to do with understanding that it's the house of God. It's his purchased possession. Actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 19, it also says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." One of the great things about the King James Bible is that they have not removed the ye's from the Bible. Notice in this verse how it says, "Know ye not?" Ye is a plural form of you. And that's important that it's there, because it's not just talking about us as individuals. And that's what I think what's happened today is, for Christians, we think that we can function in a local church as an individual. And then if we don't like it, or we lump it, or whatever, it's just our decision, because, hey, I'm important to God all on my own. I don't need anybody else. We live in a time of rebellion. Folks, we cannot be rebellious against the institution of a local church. We are together in this. He created the church for his children, the born-again believers, to be a part of this local New Testament church. And he says, "I have bought ye with a price." He says, "I bought you all." And he unifies us together, and he tells us, hey, glorify God in your body. You could take that two ways. You can say, ye, your body, that's the whole church itself, we're the body of Christ. Glorify God in our body. And then you can also take it to the personal level, where you're glorifying God in your own individual body. But you can't glorify God in your individual body if you are not glorifying God in the corporate body. Amen. There is no such an animal in the scripture where there's lone rangers running around doing their own thing. The New Testament is about the establishing of the local church, and it's a privilege for us to be a part of what God is doing in the local church. We belong to the Lord. In Mark 9 verse 41, it says this, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Isn't that amazing? You know what that tells me? That tells me that God takes care of his own. God, those that belong to him, the Bible says if someone were to come to you and you're a child of God and they were to help you in some way, the Bible says they will not lose their reward because they helped someone that belonged to Christ. Amen. Does that not make you feel special? Does that not make you feel important? Well, it ought to, because that's exactly what he made you. He made you very important to him and to the cause of Christ. And you know what? He rewards people for taking care of you. That's what it says right there. We belong to the Lord. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And it's a blessing to be a blessing to those that are born again. Please don't be critical. Can you think about this for a second? In Genesis chapter 12, it talks about the Abrahamic covenant. And it said, "Blessed are those that bless you, and cursed are those that curse you." Because he says, "I've purchased you. I have purchased you. Israel is mine." And so God is going to judge those that go against Israel. And the same way, because we belong to him, He takes care of us. And if people come against us, don't worry about it. God's got it under control. You just keep doing right, because you belong to the Lord. You've been bought with a price. Amen. Blessed are they that bless you. And please, bless the people of God. Don't curse the people of God. Don't get all critical and disgruntled and start cutting people up when you get at home with your buddies or whatever. Don't do it. God is taking note of that. Don't do it. These are the children of God. The Bible calls the church his heritage. His heritage. His allotment. It's God's. Amen. He owns us. And we ought to honor the Lord in that which he loves. And we learn that from 1 John. The Bible says, if you love God, you love the children of God. Amen. The church is also the Lord's dwelling place on earth. It's his dwelling place. This is an excellent passage. Let's read this in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse number 20. It says this, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, we're talking about the house of God, the building fitly framed together groweth up unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You think about this. You know what he's saying there? He's saying that we as a church in Airdrie, we are the habitation of God on this earth in this city. See, folks, we can build a temple and we can say, God, we want you to dwell in that temple. That's what they did in the Old Testament. They had a tabernacle. His glory would abide in the tabernacle. He would abide between the cherubim on the mercy seat. They built a temple. That's where they would go and meet God. But I'll tell you, that's not how it is today. Today, the habitation of God is in us, is in the church. Amen. We don't need a building to be the habitation of God. We need a building to stay out of the rain. Amen. But we need to be unified according to Christ's commands, doing the will of God, so that that habitation can be seen throughout the whole world. We are the habitation of God. We're builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And I'm not just talking about some old pie-in-the-sky idea of some universal system here. Folks, you cannot be a testimony of Christ's body on earth by believing in some universal system. There is a local system put in place because local churches, having a tight boundary of truth, can relay to the world the truth of the Word of God in a far greater way than any universal system can. And that's why God chose the local New Testament church to be the habitation on this earth. And so we also have another one in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. It says, ye also, as lively stones, not a dead stone. You weren't just a stone lying on the ground, no life in it. You know, I'm going to put you in a wall here and you can fill that hole. That's not what it is. He says, you're a living stone. You're a lively stone. You're a lively part of this building. And it says, are built up a spiritual house. And so this house is spiritually built up, but through the Holy Spirit of God. Then it says, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Those spiritual sacrifices are very interesting in the scripture, and there's several of them throughout the New Testament that we have to get a hold of. And I got a message on that. If you want to look at that on our website, talking about the New Testament sacrifices. But you know, we are a spiritual house and we are lively stones in that house. And it's a privilege for us to be a part of Airdrie Baptist Church. This isn't just some pie in the sky idea. This isn't just something that we can just, oh, well, you know, they don't have very much. They're not very important. You can say what you want. You can cut us up any way you want it. You can say we don't have all the programs. We don't have the money. We don't have the building. We don't have this. We don't have that. I'll tell you something. You are absolutely right. We don't have a lot of the stuff that a lot of people have. But what we do have is a purpose. And we have a habitation. And God is in us. And he's working through us. And my friend, that is the most valuable thing. But there are so many places that have the programs and they have the money and they have the things. Yet the Bible says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will enter, I'll come in unto him. Folks, we need to have Christ in the center. And if we've got Christ at the center, we've got everything. We've got more than everything. We've got the preeminent Son of God, the creator of the world. Airdrie Baptist Church, don't you ever think that you're less than anybody else. You are more, and not because of you or me. You are more because of Him, and we're going to glorify Him and lift Him up. And let this be a house of God, an habitation, a building that is built together, a spiritual house, and we're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices, and God is going to be glorified in Airdrie, Alberta, and beyond. Amen. Oh, I hope we get an amen from somebody. I hope I'm not alone in this. Amen. God help us. We all supply something to the strength of the church if we're faithful. See, we need to get out of this mindset that it doesn't matter if I'm faithful. It doesn't matter if I'm there or not. I mean, hey, I got things to do. Think about this. There is nothing more important to God right now than reaching souls throughout this world. There's nothing more important right now than to build the people of God in the truth. We need to change our mindset. We need to become faithful to the house of God. Faithful to the people of God. Loving the people of God. Sacrificing for the people of God. Amen. Oh, then we'll have something. The Bible says we're like a building that has joints, and every joint supplieth. When you build a building, and Ed will tell you this, how he puts that corner together, how those joists are put together, how those floor joists and those rafters are put together, every joint supplieth. Every joint supplieth to the strength of your house. You supply to the strength of the house of God. You being there, and not just being there and taking off, but you being there in heart, body, and soul, being faithful to the house of God, you will deliver a strength into the building that we need today. Amen. God help us. We all supply. Second point is this. The church is the Lord's presentation. It's the Lord's presentation. Notice how it says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. The word behave means to the way you move around, the way you operate, the way that you show yourself, the way that you present yourself. Because He owns us and we are His house, we must deal with ourselves to make sure we present ourselves as such. This is not just about what we are like in the place that we meet. This isn't just about putting on a show for the people of God as we meet together in the church. No, this is what we are wherever we are, 24/7, 7 days a week. Oh, folks, we need to be clear on this. Our Wi-Fi died. Where was I? Just like 2 minutes ago. It was just like 2 minutes ago. No, not 2 minutes. All right, we're back on. Yeah. All right, we were talking about the presentation of the believers through in the house of God. If we are bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are given that privilege to be in part of the house of God, to deliver strength to every particular joint and part of the people of God, we need to make sure that we behave ourselves right. And the word behave, as I've mentioned before, is to move around, or how you're operating. That's why when it talked before about how about we're supposed to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He possesses our body. He possesses our spirit. We glorify Him in those ways. We present the love of Christ in the way we behave. I want you to turn your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 5. There's four verses that really give us these two aspects of the presentation of the children of God. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You know what this is? This, my friend, is the love of God. This is God loving us so much he's willing to pay the price. This is God loving us so much that he's willing to take the pain on himself for the sake of others. Oh, we live in an entitled generation today. We don't want to suffer for anybody. We want everybody to suffer for us. Oh, why don't you do this for me? Do this for me. And God says, no, children of God, this is how you behave yourself. You walk in love, just like Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross of Calvary because, for your sins. You die for others. You suffer for others. Folks, we need to get out of our self-love. That's what the law is all about. The law tells us, thou shalt not, and you know why he needed to tell us that? Because we love ourselves way too much, and we don't love God the way we ought to love him. And if we love God and we love others, we will give up ourselves for others. Amen. Someone once said, oh, if I'll tell you what, I'll serve God if I can make time for it, if it fits in my schedule. Hey, you know what you're saying is, you want service to the Lord to be convenient. And I'll tell you something, service to God is never convenient. And if your service to God has to be convenient, then you've never served God. Wow. I'll tell you something, that'll give you a kick in the pants. Amen. The Lord knows this. He's saying, walk in love like Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's one of the spiritual sacrifices that he was talking about before, as a spiritual house that we offer to God. Not only that, we present the love of Christ in the way we behave. We hurt the cause of Christ when we do not behave right. Oh, we don't like the preacher talking on this stuff, because this stuff steps on toes. And we don't like that. But notice what it says in verse number 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Oh, we can be quite sarcastic and cut pretty deep with our words sometimes. That's wrong behavior for the child of God. But notice what it says, fornication. No fornication, and all uncleanness. The word fornication is to commit any fornication or sexual sin. It's a lewdness or anything like that. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is, there is an epidemic in God's house today, in the house of God, in the church of the living God. And I'm not talking about in our meeting place. I'm talking about in the people of God. And I'm not even saying the Airdrie Baptist Church. I'm talking generally in churches today. You know that 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis? You say, no way. Yes way. That's a Barna study, 2016. Of young Christian adults, 18 to 24 years old, 76% actively search for porn, the study says. These are Christian kids, and they're seeking for it online. The Bible says the word fornication is the Greek word porneia. That's where we get the word pornography from. It says, let it not be once named. Let it not be once named. And I realize that people have gone through this. They've gotten right. They're on their way. And you know, oh, well, I guess that we're talking about from today forward. We're talking about right now. Folks, we ought to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. All fornication, all uncleanness. And the Bible says covetousness. Boy, how many times have we forsaken God's work for money? And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And we complain about it with COVID and all the big power people trying to make money off of vaccines and this and that and the other. Hey, that big money starts with the little money. It's how we're faithful in the little things. And that's why God says, if you're faithful in the least, I'll give you much. The reason why these people are covetous over big amount of money because they're covetous with a little amount of money. Amen. We should never be sacrificing the things of God for the love of money. Like I said about balancing the Christian life, everything's got to be in its place. But folks, our covetousness has taken over sometimes. And that's behaving ourselves wrongly in the house of God. And I'm using these examples, and I mean, you could talk about many other ones, but this is what Ephesians 4, and that coupling of sacrificing ourselves for others, or there's loving yourself. There's loving God or loving you. And we need to stop loving ourselves. The third point I want to bring across is the church fulfills the Lord's purpose. The Lord's purpose. We've become offended at the world that they do not recognize our purpose on earth. I was thinking of this. It gets me riled up during the COVID. Non-essential. I mean, you feel the same way. But I thought about this. We're basically treated as non-essential by the world. But as far, think about this. But as far as the world and their goals, we are non-essential. We are non-essential for the world to get what the world wants. The same way we're non-essential to the carnal believer and the goals that they want. See, if we would look at the church as essential to the purpose of God for your life, then we wouldn't be backing out on the things of God. But you know what we do? We treat it as non-essential as believers. And then we're offended why the world thinks we're non-essential. They think more than that. Jesus said the world will hate you. We can't be offended that they don't think we're essential because they don't even get what our purpose is. Just like many Christians don't get what our purpose is. The Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is what it's about. It's about coming out of the darkness into the light. People in the darkness aren't going to find you essential if they want to stay in the darkness. But anybody that is in darkness that wants the light will say that's essential. Amen. The world sees us as foolish. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. In verse 23 it says, for we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Amen. They think us standing up here behind a pulpit preaching the word of God is a foolish thing. But those of us that believe and those of us that find it a privilege to be in the house of God, look at the preaching God as something that is essential and something that is something they cannot do without. And that's why I'm very concerned when people are turning me off that are coming to church. There's something going on in their heart. We need to be praying. The church follows Jesus Christ. We need to understand that this is what it's all about. It's about following Jesus, Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:15, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he was before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is the head of the body. The body is the church. Airdrie Baptist Church, we are a body. I am not the head. I'm a part of the body. I am someone supposed to follow the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mind. And the same way that your mind, from it flows the impulses that makes your hands move and your fingers move and your tongue speak and your nose smell and your ears hear and all of that, is the same way that Jesus Christ, who is the mind of God, and his impulses ought to direct the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the local church. Amen. So important. Their qualifications. Listen, no matter what happens, one day you are going to stand before the Lord. You'll be gathered together to him, and you'll receive rewards for the things that you have done in your body if you're a born-again believer. And you can say, I'm a part of the church. At that point, you can, because you'll be all assembled together. But there's something in the scripture that I've been thinking about. See, just because we're children of God does not mean that we're fulfilling our purpose in the house of God. And in fact, we see in Revelation how that Jesus Christ himself said to the church at Ephesus, he says, behold, and he says, repent, or I will remove your candlestick. A candlestick is the platform, the thing that lifts up the light. You say, well, I have light in me. You have light in you, but it will not be seen. It will not be useful. It will not be used in a great way until it's put on a candlestick. And that candlestick is granted by our God to us as we fulfill the requirements of Scripture as a local church. And if we don't fulfill the requirements of Scripture as a local church, he removes the candlestick. Not our salvation, but the candlestick, our purpose, our usefulness. And so we can walk around and say, hey, I'm the church. I'm the church. I'm the universal church. But folks, you're good for nothing until you're put on a candlestick. And that candlestick can be taken away from us if Airdrie Baptist Church will not stand true and unified in the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says we're the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. This is so important. And I've been thinking about this because I think there's a real error today that every believer just thinks, oh yeah, because I'm saved, I'm going to be useful for God. No, you're saved and you have the potential to be useful for God. But you got to remember, there is a judgment seat, and some people will be losing their rewards because they are not fulfilling the purpose of God here on earth, even though they're a child of God. Amen? And that's an awesome thought. The church is someone that follows the headship of Christ. The church are those that unashamedly identify with Christ in water baptism. So where does that come from? It comes from Christ. You know that Jesus didn't do any ministry until he was baptized, identified with the gospel, the death that he was going to die? Amen. And that's the same way it is for us. There is no ministry until we are identified with Christ unashamedly in believer's baptism. In Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The church are also disciples. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know what's difficult for preachers today? It's getting past the pride of learners. And what happens sometimes is, because we've been brought up maybe in a Christian home, we don't allow anybody to teach us anything. We want to become self-sufficient in our own ability to learn. And I've come across this for the last 20 years of my ministry. And I'll tell you something. I've never seen one of these people ever do anything great for God. Yet they had a lot of Bible knowledge. We have to commit ourselves to discipleship. Discipling to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care how much knowledge you get in that head of yours. You do not become a disciple overnight. That's a lifelong endeavor as a child of God to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means you have to take great responsibility for all the aspects that the Lord has given you to help become like Jesus Christ. Like the Bible says, he's given you pastors and teachers. But I've had people argue with me that you don't need pastors and teachers. I'm just saying, you can do that if you want, but don't think it's going to end up well, because the scriptures are clear in regards to that. You need the church. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to be taught in the church. It's a privilege to have someone dig into the Bible and do a lot of the groundwork for you to help build you up in the truth. And if you ever find yourself becoming proud, like, oh, I already knew that. I remember I had one person, they come to me every Sunday, they tell me how they already learned that the week before. And I'm saying, man, and that person is not doing right today. Wow. You know what it is? Because it's pride. And pride goes before destruction. Amen. We need to be humble learners before our God. We need to be humble before the Word of God, humble before Christ, and just say, Lord, teach me. Help me to be more. I'm nothing, Lord. Once you think yourself to be something, oh my goodness, Lord, help you. The church, our disciples, the church seeks to win souls. This is the result of following Christ. He says, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. You know, sometimes I get people that will come to me and they want to be a soul winner. And I try to tell them, I'll say, you know, that's great and I'll take you out soul winning, but you need to become like Christ. You see, it's not about becoming a soul winner. It's about becoming like Christ. It's about following him. And soul winning will be an outflow of being like Christ. Amen. It's not something you're going to learn in a soul winning class. It's something that you learn as you give yourself to personal devotion and Bible study, as you give yourself to the local church, because it's a privilege to be a part of the church, because there you learn to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we can become soul winners that are effective in winning people to Christ. But it's more than a lesson 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I've read every soul winning book, probably many of them out there, and the lesson plans, and they're all great. But there's no lesson plan greater than you just giving yourself to become like Christ. And if you become like Christ, you will do the things that Christ would do. Amen. That's what it's all about. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is why we're non-essential to the world. They love the darkness. They don't want the light. Christian, do you want the light? Are you constantly reaching out for the light? Are you constantly saying, I want more light, God? I'll tell you about a Christian like that. A Christian like that has made it his goal to be faithful to the house of God. Faithful to the things of God. Faithful to the preaching and the study of the Word of God. Faithful to their devotional life. And I know you slip up, and I've missed too sometimes. But you know something? You have to reset yourself. Lord, I need to get back to the Word of God. I need to get back to the Word of God. My final point was, the church is the Lord's pillar of truth. And we're going to be done right now. A pillar is something that supports the truth. We are to hold up the truth in this world. It is sitting on top of us. We are demonstrating it to every man. That's why, as long as there's abortion in this world, there will be born-again believers that will stand up and say, that is not right. That is not what the Word of God says. And that's why you'll have people saying that Christians are the worst part of society. Because, you know what? They're going against the agenda of the world. You'll say that marriage between a man and a woman for life, and that is the scripture way. Amen. All kinds of things that you'll stand up and you'll talk about, but you got to be careful, because the pressure of this world is causing us to cave in many areas. We're no longer being the pillar of the truth. We don't care about living holy lives. We don't care about staying away from things that Christians ought not be a part of. Drinking alcohol and drugs. Those things are not godly. They are ungodly. We ought to stay clear of them. These are just examples. The church is that. What a privilege it is to be a part of the church. It's not colleges. It's not charities. It's the church that the Lord bought with his very blood. That is what God uses today. That is the pillar of the truth. We are also the foundation. The steadfast, firm foundation. We must continue steadfastly in the truth. We cannot cave. In Acts 20, verse 26, it says, "Wherefore I take to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That means at Airdrie Baptist Church, there's not a verse in this Bible that ought not be preached for what God's meant it to be. Even when it steps on our toes. Even when it gets us mad. And Christians, we need to be fellow helpers in this truth. We need to help this along, not hurt it. You know, you don't put pressure on your pastor or on the church workers to compromise ever. "Well, I have my preference. This is what I like." This is not about preference. This is about truth. Don't pressure God's people to lower their standards. You know what? Sometimes we have a tendency, if someone has a higher standard, we call them a Pharisee. We call them, "Folks, if they have a higher standard than me, praise God. I'm not going to tear somebody down for wanting to be holy. Maybe I need to learn from that. Maybe I need to grow. Maybe there's something I have not learned yet. Maybe my pride has kept a line in the sand, and I can't be used until I cross over and allow myself to be taught further." Amen. Maybe there's a higher standard I have in my life. Maybe I'm not the ground and the firm, steadfast balance that I need to be. "Wherefore, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." See, it's not about the church. It's not about you and me. It's about the truth. And it's about bringing people that are in the darkness to the truth. And I'll tell you, those that are seeking the light, we become very essential. Those that don't want the light, we will always be non-essential. And if we're going to get offended over that, we're not going to do very well in this world, because the Bible says offenses will come. He will deal with who's giving the offense. We just continue on forward, trusting God, lifting up the truth, looking at the local New Testament church and saying, you know what, it is a privilege. It's a privilege to be a part of God's house. God's house isn't a building, folks. God's house is the people. We are the habitation. Are we presenting Him well? Are we behaving ourselves in the house of God? Or is He waiting to pull our candlestick away? And then we'll walk around saying, "Oh, look at me. I'm a part of the church." And the Lord says, "Sure, I'm going to call you up one day, but you're no good for me." Oh, Lord, help us never to become that. Lord, help me never to be cast away like the Apostle Paul feared, "Lest I should be a castaway. And that which I preach to others," he says, "I myself should be a castaway." Oh, I pray that would never be for Airdrie Baptist Church. Let's continue going strong in the faith, moving forward. 1 year has gone by. This next year will be greater if God's people will say, "I'm going to be faithful serving you, Lord, even if it's not convenient for me in my life." Amen. May the Lord bless this message to our hearts. Let's bow our heads.